NKST Mission Retreat Media presents the gospel, God's power to save all who believe. This message was delivered by Reverend Dr. Frederick Lanshima Khan at the NKST Mission Retreat National Conference 2020 on the theme, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. May God bless these words on your heart in Jesus' name.
Message 1.
Without all manner of protocols, let me invite you again to turn to John chapter 9. The Gospel according to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And I read, shall commence reading from verse 1. Sembalo Yohane Tukisha Tankaruni Sihi Vumion Tanzan Siki Vu Kundu Karu Tankaruni Nyan We Mandura Semasor and Tukirachi Ben. So we shall read from verses 1 through to 29. The Bible says in the NIV, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can walk. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees who asked him how he had received his sight. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered. And we know he was born blind, but how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Verse 28. Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you again for the grand privilege, great opportunity of grace we have again. And this great opportunity of grace is to be spent in your presence. We do appreciate you greatly, and indeed cannot appreciate you enough. We cannot speak of you in sufficient glowing terms, commensurate with who you are and the things you have done in history, in our lives, and even today. Our Father, today is the last day of the year called 2020, the year of great anticipation, the year that all over the world, men had imagined all manner of things that would happen. Our Father, your word says, a day is like a 1,000 years before you, and 1,000 years like one day. Before you, there is no difference between yesterday, today, or tomorrow. But Lord, you have demarcated the periods of time for the convenience of humanity. And it is for this, Lord, that we can gather today and say that you have brought us this far. So, Father, Lord, we thank you for the mercies granted us in times past, in times that we looked up to you, and in response to our prayers, you have kept your word faithful. You have kept faith even with us, and you have been faithful. So, Father, Lord, we thank you that even today, we are able to gather and to call upon your name. Few more hours and another year will be here. And indeed, some parts of the world had already witnessed a new year. Father, owing to how dynamic you are in the world, that some part of the world will call this very moment 2021, and yet some others will live in 2020. Father, no man can do this, only you alone. So, Father, we thank you for that which you are able to do and you are about to do. We call upon your name this evening. You helped us from beginning in the morning till now. Father, your word says you ever remain faithful, even when we are no longer faithful. And that our ability to be faithful is even dependent upon your keeping. Keep us faithful, dear Lord. We thank you, Father, for the reading of this word. It is the word we have read many times before, 1,001 times indeed, and have received all kinds of interpretations that have brought an advancement of faith and an increase in the things that you have helped us to do. Yet, Lord, it has pleased you to bring it up once again, that pending matters might be addressed by your Spirit of grace. So, Father, Lord, we open our hearts and avail them unto you, asking, Lord, with faith, that your Spirit of grace will possess our hearts, brood over them, cause this word to find, indeed, opportunity of deposit. And Lord, when your Spirit broods over them upon our hearts, you cause our hearts to be mixed with faith, this word to be mixed with faith, in order that our hearts will derive great benefit. Our Father, we know that in this conference you do great things. Father, we know you have begun them already. Sustain them, continue with them, and bring us to the fullness of your divine purposes. Father, as we advance, may you unveil even your eternal purposes unto us all. Help us and lead us to know much more of the work that you want to do and that you're already doing, and much more that in these last days you want to upgrade even that work and do much more in splendid fashion through we feeble human beings, your children. We thank you, Father, because you do wonderfully. You do valiantly. You do beyond human imagination. Have your way and flow through your people when you will come again in the midst of your people seeking whose heart to possess, may you grant us a readiness that will not allow you pass over any of us. Our Father, we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you. Receive the honor and the glory once again, for the honor and glory are yours alone. And Lord, we plead, if there be anything in our hearts of our own, or without, that would want to struggle with your word, that would want to indeed displace your word, that would want to exalt itself above the knowledge of Jesus, this very moment, we ourselves cast it down by the power of your word, and above all, in great expectation of that which you do. Hear us once more, because we are prayed with thanksgiving in our hearts, and in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Very early in the morning, during the welcome address, a brother and father read a few of these verses, and I listened to it while at home. And I felt some part of what I should have said has already been addressed. So I may not necessarily bore you with repetitions. I know as main speaker, some of you may be expecting certain things that I should say. But apart from what he said in the morning, the Bible study has also helped to address some of the issues as well. And in these two, I'm thankful to God that previous events or previous happenings in the conference have already addressed those issues, and I may not necessarily want to go over them. But today, I want us to begin by establishing to some extent what is this walk we are talking about. Tomorrow, Friday, we shall be looking at the hindrances to this walk. And lastly, on Saturday, we shall be looking at the life of a man who came late to the walk. And these are the three issues I want us to consider the rest of the time. So the theme once again is, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. And this is taken from the King James Version. The NIV and several other versions say that we must. Other versions do not say I. But the King James and some others around that time have said I. There is no problem with this. We shall try or attempt to resolve this a little later as we continue. So as all of you know, the text for this conference is John 9, and the theme particularly is from verse 4. And today, I'm going to be limiting my discussion to only verse 1. Even though we shall scan through and mention one or two other issues in the other verses, we shall do this because the theme taken from verse 4 is situated within the encounter of one man, and the Bible describes him as a blind man. And this experience of the blind man that has led Jesus to make this declaration touches on six categories of people, and I want us to note them. The first is the blind man himself in verse 1. The second is verse 2. It says his disciples. Did you see that in your Bible? The third group of people is the neighbors of the blind man, which we find in verse 8. It begins by saying his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him. The fourth group of people is the Pharisees in verse 13. The Bible says they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. And number 5 group of people is the Jews, found in verse 18. The Bible says the Jews still did not believe that he had been blind. And the last group of people is also found in verse 18 and verse 22, which is the parents of the blind man. Apart from all this, Jesus is at the center and not really the blind man. Of all these, Jesus is at the center and not even the blind man. But before we progress, I want us to draw some lessons from this category of people. Why are they involved? Why didn't Jesus just meet this man alone? Or even if he did meet him in the same circumstances as we find, why is the Bible not silent about the disciples, the neighbors, the Pharisees, the Jews, and the parents? Why is the Bible mentioning this group of people? Certainly they have a role to play. We may safely infer from this list the extent or the pervasive influence of the consequence of this man's blindness. The pervasive nature of the influence or of the consequence of this man's blindness. And of course, by the time his eyes got opened, it also went as far as this list of people is here mentioned. In other words, the experience of one man has this tendency to influence and indeed maybe involve, as it were, a large number of people. But you see, a further look at the category of people also reveals that whatever experience we have in our own lives, whether we are aware or not, whether we know it or not, whether we are conscious of it or not, there are a lot of other people that are also affected, sometimes negatively and sometimes positively. And sometimes there are people who can never be influenced. And this, such things as affect us, also affects the unknown people. It affects the leadership of whatever group or association we belong to. It also affects the general public. It also affects religious leaders or religious groups and our families. We therefore need to be careful with some of the things that we do or say. But secondly, it also reveals the target of the work that Jesus is talking about. In other words, when Jesus said, "I must do the work of him that sent me," Jesus was not going to walk with vacuum. Jesus was not going to walk with trees. Jesus was not going to walk with mere animals. Jesus had a target, and I want us to look at the group again. First, the blind man. And I like what our father said in the morning. Even though we're talking about physical blindness, but there are times that physical experiences or physical manifestations are indeed a reflection of what is happening in the spirit. So we're talking about a blind man, but beyond the physical blindness, we see that the man also was blind, of course, to the love of God. Of course, the love of God. And visionless altogether. You know, blind people do not see. They cannot appreciate nature or the reality of life. The man that was blind to the reality of eternity. You know, the things that we see aid even our faith. Some of the things we see, we believe more. The man was equally blind to the salvific work of Jesus. Blind to the daily manifestations of grace. You know, those of us that see, we see sometimes horrible things. Sometimes we see the best of things. And indeed, they develop our lives. They develop faith. Blind to the realities of earthly life. Remember, we are talking about a blind man, but I want you to note that this fits the tendency or the nature of a category of people that are blind. Blind also to the power of God to deliver from sin. But let me rest a while and move to the next group, because we have a few things we must mention regarding the group. Second, to the disciples. Why were they present? Why would they come into play where Jesus is going to deal with the blindness of a man? Disciples were people who were learning. They had just begun to follow. Some of them didn't even know what Jesus came to do. They were following Jesus with some ulterior motive. So this address, this experience, this encounter included them, involved them, because they also needed to learn some lessons for life. Of course, they also hadn't yet come to grasp with the holistic nature and the totality of a life of faith, as we see in other expressions in the course of the ministry of Jesus. These were a group of people who were still experimenting and hence yet to consolidate, as it were, the gains of the life of faith. Some of them were already set in their ways. Even though they had begun to follow Jesus, they were yet to be delivered from those natural tendencies that they had imbibed over the years. Part of what we are going to be looking at tomorrow, as they asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" This question was arising from a tradition. It was not really their opinion. And our uncle talked about it in the morning. That we'll be talking about tomorrow. But that is not all. There's also another group of people. And in this next group of people, that is the neighbors, here was a group of people who themselves didn't really know what they were up to. So they were even debating and they were asking questions. You know, if you read from verse 8, the Bible says, those who had formerly seen him begging, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? They were debating, they were arguing. But of course, in the end, as the story ends, it became very clear to all of them that something had really, really, really happened. Their opinion was largely going to depend on the outcome of the entire experience. Let me briefly say that, you see, today the blind man is not here. Those other disciples are not here. The neighbors are not here. The Pharisees are not here. The Jews are not here. The parents of this man are not here. But we are here. And I want us to know that each of these categories represents a section of this community of believers. And let me say it again for the sake of emphasis. There are, even in our midst, people who are still blind to the realities of the life of faith. During the Bible study session, our leader made an emphasis concerning the works of Jesus in our own lives. You know, it is not everyone here who believes that because they believe in Jesus, they can also pray and God will honor his word. When there is the slightest challenge, they are looking for people to run to. So there are people who are yet to believe to the point of truly experiencing the reality of the life of faith. There are people who are neither here nor there. They have followed and followed over the years. Encountered an elderly woman recently. And I was surprised at the story that she came to tell. She said she came to make a confession. The woman is over 70 years. She was baptized as a communicant member in the NKST in the early 70s. And when she got to me about a month or two ago, she said, she has come to tell me that she has missed the way. I said, which way? That this is not what we have been teaching them. She's really ashamed to say it, but this is the truth of what has happened. That she was carrying a talisman with her over the years. They told her that one juju man lived somewhere who could protect her children. She went there, and unfortunately, she lost two of her children. And she still didn't stop. She was looking for her own protection, and sickness got over her. And I asked her, "Mama, some of us came as little children and met you people in this. Now, Mama, tell me, are you growing forward or growing backwards?" So I discovered that there are other disciples who are yet to make it to anywhere. But the good news is that in this conference, Jesus is still passing here. And it will be our earnest expectation and prayer that they will be part of the experience and encounter, or the encounters that will take place in this conference. Of course, there are neighbors that are also looking up to us. They imagine that our attitude is standard attitude or model that they can copy. They may debate religious issues. They may debate spiritual issues. But when they see those things manifest in us, they know that this is the truth. But of course, the fourth group is the Pharisees, religious professionals, whose defining feature is antagonism against revealed truth. You know, there are religious people. Some of them may even be pastors or elders or whatever level of leadership, or old timers. When they see a spectacular manifestation of the word of God, they doubt it and they challenge it, they question it. Let me leave the rest of that and talk about the Jews. The other group, the fifth category, is the Jews, who claim bona fide connection to religious realm more than all others. And you know, each time I talk about things like this, I call to mind our standard in the NKST. Sometimes it looks as if outside of NKST there is no religion. The traditional belief in our church is that beyond NKST, no other person is doing anything. So we look down on all other people, all other traditions. But I discovered it's not only the NKST. If you go to the Catholic Church, they tell you that this is mother church. If you are not a member of the Catholic Church, you are not worshiping God. Come to the Protestant, they boast of their doctrines. I have said this before, and many times indeed. I was shocked when Equa Church were boasting that in the whole world, no other church has a doctrine as biblical as that of Equa. Until I came across the boast of the Anglican Church. And they said in the whole world, only the Anglican Church has a pure doctrine. Go over to the Pentecostals. They will tell you that all of you are dead people. You don't believe in Jesus. You are dead people. In fact, they mock and mock and mock. So this group of Jews and Pharisees, Jews and Pharisees, were a group of people that needed to witness this and to have a hand in this, so that the encounter of this blind man will provide opportunity for Jesus to demonstrate the goal of his coming. You know, we have a group of people whose pleasure is their tradition. I hear people boast. I go to the Catholic Church and hear them boast, "Oh, thank God I'm not involved in those nonsense called synody." If you want to go to church, go to Catholic Church. One boasted that, in fact, how can he be a member of a church whose headquarters is in one village called Nka? Rome is the place. Come over to the NKST and hear boast, "Oh, thank God in our family, nobody has missed the way. All of us are NKST." So we have groups of people whose pleasure is only their tradition. But lastly, I should mention the parents. People who ought to know and exercise oversight over the weak and the feeble, yet shy away from their responsibility, shy away from the truth. I'm only mentioning this today in passing because we'll be dealing with this tomorrow. I know I have limited time, so I'll summarize the main issue now. I want us to observe each time that Jesus passes through a place, there is something he does. I said I'm going to limit our discussion to verse 1. The Bible says, as he went along. One version says, walking down the street. And as I searched the Bible, I discovered that each time Jesus passes through a place, something spectacular takes place. And I want us to look at Luke chapter 19, where Jesus passed through. Yes. Luke chapter 19 verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Do you have that in your Bible? And what happened? A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. I have only 15 minutes late, so I will not talk more about that. But I want us to learn something here. When Jesus passed through Jericho, he saw a man. This one was not blind. But if you look at his life, you discover a lot of issues. But we'll mention only three. The man's identity comprised of only three things. First, his name. And what is the name? Zacchaeus. Second, his rank. What was the rank? Chief tax collector. Other versions say he was the commissioner of taxes. Another version says a leading tax collector. Another version says surveyor of taxes. And one other version puts it very interestingly, says prince of publicans. Still another version says he's the chief tax gatherer. And the last version I checked said collector and contractor of taxes. That was the man's rank. And third, his status. What was it? Rich, wealthy man. And on top of all this, the Bible says the man was short and he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. So his identity on the one part and his nature, natural disposition, and outward circumstances on the other hand constituted a barrier from seeing Jesus. What do I mean? His identity in terms of his name, his rank, his status, together with his nature, coupled with outward circumstances, that is the crowd, constituted a barrier from seeing Jesus. His natural disposition was his height, and his outward circumstances was the crowd. If you read the Bible very well, you observe that what prevented Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus was not his height, firstly. The Bible says, being a short man, he could not see Jesus because of the crowd. The Good News Bible says he was of a little man. Big in name, big in rank, big in status, but little in nature. And this hindered him from seeing Jesus. And I think this is one of the things that necessitated Jesus passing through Jericho. Let me pause and also say before my 15 minutes are over that if you look through our congregations, I'm not talking about any other place, but let's talk about our NKST congregations. You'll find a reflection of the person of Zacchaeus. Our churches have become platforms for expressing ego. Ego. E-G-O. Ego. Hero worship, show of titles, and self-assertion. You know that people take offense when their titles are not given exaggerated prominence. That's what we find in our church. I don't know what happens in the Catholic Church or in the Methodist or Anglican or the Pentecostals. I don't know. People take offense when ordinary title, ordinary JP are missing from their names. They take offense. I have been wondering, has this thing become a cult? Even amongst us clergy. And in fact, the clergy take offense if you call them and do not add all their titles. We got somewhere a few years ago and I moderated the program. At the end of it, we invited the elderly pastor in our midst to give the closing prayer. And I invited Reverend so-so and so to come give us a closing prayer. And the man walked to the front and collected the mic. And then whispered to me that, sorry, you didn't call my touch, you didn't call doctor, so please take and call it. You know, I shivered. And very quickly I said, okay, sir, when you are done praying, I will call the doctor. Well, fortunately, or maybe unfortunately, it just escaped me altogether. And I forgot about it till today. And yet, I'm still owing the man. In fact, let me even tell you that were this conference not reduced to what it is today, by now we would have been bored with several introductions, as has always been the case. But in the next few moments, briefly again, elsewhere Jesus had need of passing through another place, and this time in John chapter 4. Jesus had to pass through another place. The passage is a long one, so I'll not read it. Just read where he passed. Verse 4. John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. I just want you to see those words for yourself. And here, Jesus encountered another woman, the woman of Samaria. You know the story. And because time is gone, I can't talk about it as much as I would have loved to. But this woman had an encounter with him. And what necessitated this encounter? Her life was full of regular tendencies of regular church members. In verse 7 to 12, 16 to 18, 19 and 20, we find a few of the things I'll mention. The woman was argumentative, arrogant, tribalistic, oblivious of God's offer amidst much religious knowledge. Do you know that our church in Kesti has been reduced to a tribal church, and so tribalistic? I can only be bold enough to mention it to you because you are in Kesti members. Elsewhere, we don't even talk about it because it is so shameful. Very shameful. In fact, someone whispered to me that this tendency has also entered the Catholic Church in Benue. If a church is vacant, let me start from Sankara area. You need to be a Sankara person to qualify to be a pastor. If a church is vacant in, say, Kwande, you need to be a Kwande man to qualify to be called. If a church is vacant, say in Jemba area, if you are not a Jemba pastor, no matter your capacity, nobody will call you. This has become it's a recent development. And as I went around Enkesti all over, I have discovered that our clans have become the parent name of churches. I got to Atuku the other day, say, Enkesti Atuku Churchin. I got to Ahwa, Enkesti Ahwa Ipia. I said, when did all this God get into this church? Why become so clannish? Here was a life of hypocrisy and deceit. A woman who had several husbands told Jesus she has no husband. Hypocrisy and deceit. She said that their fathers dug this well, that their father Jacob, and that is why she's fetching. How come that Jesus is asking for water when she's a Samaritan woman? You Jews have nothing in common with us. Unstable in her ways and lifestyle. Hence, multiplicity of husbands. I observed that she observed the traditions of her fathers without any commitment to the God of her fathers. And this is what we find in church today. People observe the traditions of church, whether in the Catholic Church or in the Protestant or Pentecostal, our commitment is to tradition, not to the person in whose name those traditions have evolved. Finally, and this is the good news, that in the end, both Zacchaeus and the Samaritan woman yielded to the Lord. In Luke chapter 19, verse 18, the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus said, Lord! And as soon as Zacchaeus said this, if you read that passage, his eyes got opened, and the man said, Lord, Master, if I ever cheated any man, I will restore 4 times. How come Zacchaeus was coming to this realization suddenly? Because the work needed to be done in his life first. And this leads us to the crux of the matter. If this work is not yet achieved in your life, you can't do it. John chapter 4 verse 29, that Samaritan woman went to the city and told the people, come see the Messiah, the man who told me all I ever did. And until she got to that point, she could not go back to the city to bring people. And towards the end of that chapter, the people came and testified, woman, now we believe in him, not because you told us, but because we have heard. So instantly their eyes opened, they saw humanity in different light, and we must do the work of him that sent me. And this is where this resolution comes in. Jesus said, I must, because he was going to do it on a particular life, and all the others will become witnesses. And from thenceforth, they will take it over and carry it on. So for us, it is we must do the work. Jesus said, I must do it, because this is the reason for which he came. And I can only ask, has this work been achieved in your life? Many of us have labored in church over the years. Has this work truly been achieved in our lives? I said before that the Lord is passing through this meeting, but Jesus must work on you, in you, and through you. Are you willing to submit to him tonight so that he can also do this work in your life? Are there pending issues in your life that need to be addressed? Like he entered, passed through that town, met Zacchaeus and addressed the issues in his life, passed through another place, addressed the issues in the woman's life, and today it is our turn whose issues can be addressed. And this is the work that Jesus came to effect. Has it been effected in your life? You know, as pastor, I have encountered a number of people, and I hear stories and I see things happen. Sometimes I wonder, is this still church? Have we not reduced this thing to a mere social activity and social gathering? At the local level, it's the same thing. Go to the classes level, it's the same thing. Go to our almighty synod meeting, it's the same thing. The head cannot, in fact, the tail cannot be different from the head. Enganev. Kenum kohone. Semba olon kwa tom. Uy bepe siye king. Pepe wanybe an wasu shenelu hemen seke Bible study. Ayesi shembe kwa asha kwa king. I'm doing this because I've switched to teeth because I understand there are other people that also need to hear TV. And that is why I have done this in spite of the announcement that went before. Semba olun kwa tom u yesu ave shima uwelen aon de yan tindun ye aye king shembe kwa king la chini do pepe kenim tim. Kwa semba kanse ka hama wana fata uwelen tom nega sa yesu unevandirin tom ne ken uma ona sitoshe sha unengen ken uma u sakiu yesu yangi e tom ne ken uma na biblo ka avesie yesu lu karen kenga la sha une ye mape mana nenge a one ye mani ka avesie ye yilan one itina ma zoto mu yan lu shami ma shi wulun uma na Kaka ata ayantile tse kumana njene sekiu chi yanga telu ya iba fante sekiu ka kumen kwa unombe miga ka tolumbangu hokpande ka onya malu kwa ugande na ve kumen kwa sika na hanse aka atane yangi sesha aka agen ayan yangun unenge na yesu manu yesu welintong ken umana yo seba teme nyana Alaga samba gen jasi fasi yesu je. Bashi eka anga kenu umase ma alaga mba gen ya shika hiya. Nyanka yira uti. aklaseru shun ba tiv mananga yo shimai do naga naga mombo yansilu wangba no gana ha igira igira tina iwa jigati u gana laga na ha ura moga kaka wua ku mesikan ya ngba la tama iko komanyo po ka hega ishi igira tile igira ura moga gandia oru yanlu yon ko la data ko yi wangba ka wosulu igira hega wono ngo sorry ufa igira wa doctor ga hun woni ka tina oru shayara Nahan semolun ko ya ivanye ke nungu u Kristu ma kwane yisanya yoklafato ningna Yesu ga ka zegeton u Yesu ave shachu une jene umbona su hihi su ye lu ko ulo pirishe nasulu kan se shi ye lu a she pirin a yorun hanpa kwane une ga mafato tilen sham lu nguma wo nguma che a she a pirina Tese kiawe mbakene, ba mimije ashe ake jijingene pi. Mba nengene doshima onduga. Mba hembe nengene kwawe yorove. Ka hiawe la, ihembe kwawe kwa. Hampe vizechi, ka kwawe yorove. Vechim kawe soye, matiki heme tete ye. Angane, ngu kame. Alwe Yesu, ngwe tom ken umawo, sha u, elen tom shaka. Alu ken uma woman alu yenge unu zwana yanga yo upacho zan tion e siva temenyas luorun kwa yesu se wenenega. Bakwe usiye tomna. Yesu we tesisekia. Man tom se unye angane ka uyo chi mavi yoye yesu kate. Ken uma o saki upa. Iwo bibiru eva nyo viru shanieni saki ukendi yira e tere. Ka kwa Yesu yan lukere njela. Kwa se Samaria ki Yohani teo nyimpa, zumu kwa se ne nyima na ka emba ye, e ola ka posu posu, kwa se umo kwa se ne chihi kwa yae luke. Nenge yanga ak chihe yila Yesu ye, utere, mana sende unu mpi, jili gen la jaya keye, mkave ulu, ulu profeti ve. Bashi kwa se ne dega, zahamilu nyima kwa vea Yesu, ichihi, Ba kama si jimea biblo kawe siye. Kwa sene vakaye. Ala gata ka mesia jene. Ama na yemki gata kayo. Vava negene uluwa kama kaa amchi. Mungu pine. Si mungu kimbi pine me. Mimi wukwa ufa Yesu kasha gbundane. Mba gen yavu tsake nungu Kristu. Pishi na avu toye vavu fa Yesu. Mba gen yaya. Ka mimi yavu fa Yesu. Aka gen vanyo umbu. Kenu umma vifu. Kwa Yesu jim jim la vi kenung kinya. Kaya mokwa yangu mduwe ki wong po anyum. Anyumu haki jime. Yamza kame I mjana yo. Sifati o lun a anybanif. Mba mimi jim yangu fa kwa Yesu. Se kwa sifa se vi fa. Weza gombu undu kwa la teure. Kwa vi masi shini miya kalyam. Zwa umba Kristo. Manumluwe shi mba Kristu. Kave ava sompe mba Kristu vuluya. Kave la mzola ikonya. Kave la muido iwangi. Kile toka iwangi dido. Pa waza son chua chua. Manken yupe vuluwe ni kave yo. Ukavu vimundu kwa Yesu. Mba. Pa Yesu so wile. Ton kenu umavevu. Manalu ambara nga hen. Aiki ni kwa vipa. Aondo so wile ton. Ken uma be pesulu negen sha aka anga hindan atomne man yangi satiyo sinenge foto wolu yangi ya atomne fulega yamba mas kaven ye pe bapone atomne ba yanga maka ka ko vi hin pishi injana yo kenum kohone aondu shingu karen kenum kohone Sha une ya gadoga ama u. Unanduwe faunga. Une buu nanashe. Nana nenge fa kwa mjeru tato luando. Na fa minu kwa jiji unane. Mambaramba vi hidi jimeyo. Une hide ave shakbunda. Chachu Yesu yone akaye tomna unge ikpishi. Bamba sunda. Gemamba kwa. Salume ondi yona. Mae shiada kene semase. Sha unase mkav. Alwe foto sakyu. Une luma wasiga, alaga foto kwasu Samaria la unedzi washa umase gayok makwagene kwasu umkane maondo maveshima uwarun kwa shamia ondi yona manisim kap shakane kenti yesu amen sene nisem ondi te wasi teru himbana ge do sikpishi wa ikie ne kwashi yiransha tiyo shachu itiyo ka iti i myom nyam kwashu nasiano yiransha itina sase ko kavin se mimi kwa myom wishatio yase here se su sham nom kana mo se van the son se jijingi wo anyo yu shasmasi mana jire sham kana man shi nashe mkana ma madzu wa vajiju na kana vesi sheye mafata umene tam manalu tam am gemshima alu tam a koi wan mana tam a mve uprapra kana umasi chi terum hon wasese man parise shiada obo shiada usakiu uma ohia man uma u uurum uaka atane ma uma uyoyo wakala dzosha yoyo kenji junangala turum hon parise ambakane du sekene kane kra ken uma ukose samaria sinenga ahia sinenga achu ma sinenga atatata ma tututu ma mbanu mimi manamba kane mbanu jijuna mfe ukitio bamban umfe ukenji junala terum hon seji minchi tom ute wasi yesu kristo ya isha trankon shachi wasila na ukuma shavisi vo kaha gbunda upurapura shachi wasi wasisi udzansha gbunda umyomne zanzanzan nyorun kani miv uchiana washima wo udido terum hon zungwese mhonu sose so kwa wasi gama kachi isha chiu yasi mana zuwa sha washima wo ken yenge mtuen shee terum hon nyanka yange masichoke nyomne semba na wajiji se aka atichi aka akira kwe hege na han se nyoke nyomi he masi nyoke ne ka he alu shachu siye tindi zwa se semba undu makuwashi hii makuwaga kwa alu shachu wete rum hon uwe tom him kene visi man unase age adzahame kene mlu he wasi se shaka anichi alue mo kena towasi nangu nalu yanchan ama kwa alu mashobyo shi mayerin i umma mba chief je kwa viva yo shami we wena kwa shi nungu kristu je kwa wakwa shami kwa fachoga ukanshio terum hon jijingi wo uka wone kira nungu kwa awo umma chegwemga kwa nyia yo mailu yangi imnenge nungu mazwa mhembi shachi wasi chi jimji ya sha mbara gadi obande hemba sha trankon shachi wasi chi terum hon alwe kama kwa yovu nungu mibi fachoga kwa weyo ukanshio ga simba zambu se isi ve awuma sif chi si kende si wesha kevyo sha jiju nan manava ngitio ya terum hon shi etomum himne kena visi gba shima he terum mimi man shima i wan gba shima i ten man gba shima u he kena visi chi shaka kwa gbesha mila ungwase man shi ungwase zanzan gadi ya si wayo wasi shi kevyo a jiju nan ava ngitio a shima verin ken i mimi man kakenti ite wasi yesu kristo yima wasu mimi Amen.